Good morning. The House will come to order. Please stand if you're able, including our guests in the gallery. Our colors will be posted this morning by the Oregon National Guard Youth Challenge Program, who have come over from Bend. Welcome.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Please remain standing. Our opening ceremony will continue with an invocation by the Reverend Dr. James Cagle, who's the pastor at Central Lutheran Church in Eugene, guest of Representative Wagner.
Thank you. Psalm 90 opens. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Last Saturday, a group from our church, Central Lutheran, went hiking at Smith Rock State Park. As we drove into the park, we saw a banner saying, "Happy Birthday, Oregon, 150 years. And towering over the majestic rock made of volcanic tuff, millions of years old. More years than we can imagine. And yet we say that God has been our dwelling place even before the mountains were brought forth, land and seas created. From everlasting to everlasting, we praise God. And we praise God for the 150 years of this state, for its leaders, those who've gone before, showing wisdom and statesmanship, leadership. We give thanks for those who fished Oregon waters or felled Oregon trees, mined Oregon ore, for farmers and ranchers and shipbuilders and traders, for those who came by sea and those who came overland in covered wagons. For all these people we give thanks." Psalm 90 concludes, Let your work be manifest to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Let us pray. God bless this state and its people. We give thanks for those who have gone before, on whose shoulders we stand. We give thanks for those generations upon generations. But we also ask in this time for gifts to serve. Bless these legislators with wisdom and understanding, a commitment to justice and service. Be with all this day and in the days of difficulty and opportunity ahead. Amen.
You may be seated. Again, special thanks to Dr. Cagle and to the National Guard Youth Challenge Program. We appreciate you both being here and leading us this morning. Courtesies, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would like to invite you to extend courtesies to Pastor James Cagle. He is the senior pastor of Central Lutheran in Eugene and is the beloved and inspiring pastor of most of my staff. If you ever get a chance to be in Eugene, be sure to stop by Central to visit the Brombau organ. It is considered by many one of the musical treasures of Western Oregon. So I've heard stories. I'm going to have to make it to Eugene. It's a long drive to talk my wife to go there for Sunday worship. But other representatives and the representative from the Emerald District could probably stop by and share with us the organ and how well it actually does sound. But thank you very much for being here with us today, Pastor.
Representative Stiegler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I have the great privilege of introducing one of the, where'd they go? Back there. Actually, one of the color guard, Tanisha Romero, who is back here in the back. You can stand up. And she is 17, and she is, as you are aware, with the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. Her activities and interests include basketball, and her career goals, wait for this, she wants to be a diesel mechanic technician. I like that. And I just want to say also a word about the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. This is the legacy of a very dear friend of ours who passed away a couple of years ago, Dennis Maloney. And it was his brainchild. He understood and realized that sometimes our youth need to be given an extra helping hand up and an opportunity to really prove themselves. And this has turned out to be an exceptional program. In fact, I had a nephew who went through this program, and it quite frankly turned him around. So plaudits to the program and to our guests here today.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to welcome, if you would, Mr. Taylor Cron. He is a Salem resident, but obviously in the Youth Challenge program. He's 17, 11th grade. He likes cars, video games, spending time with family. His career goal is to join the military and become a certified mechanic. We can use his skills and enthusiasm. We appreciate him being here and all the rest. Thank you, Taylor.
Representative Kump.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is also my privilege, Amanda Leos, if you'd stand. Amanda is here from the Salem area, and she participates in drill team or orientation, art, music, reading, and animals. And this young lady wants to be a pediatric doctor. So welcome.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, we have with us today John Long. If you'd please stand up. Honorary page from Roseburg. John is a 10th grader at Oregon Youth Challenge High School. He is interested in music, enjoys playing disc golf, and hopes to one day enjoy military life as a pilot. We're happy to have John here today. Please welcome him to the House. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm honored to have an honorary page with us today, Claudia Garcia, who is 17 from Portland, also in the 11th grade, an enthusiastic soccer player, choir, and track and field athlete who wants to become a head cook. We appreciate your service and your presence here today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm honored to be able to introduce to you today Aaron Welker. Aaron, would you please rise? Aaron is from St. Helens and is also a member of the Oregon Youth Challenge High School. He's presently in the 11th grade and enjoys playing football, being part of a team, particularly a team leader, and has a career goal of being in our nation's military. Aaron, welcome to your Capitol and welcome to the House of Representatives.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you. Nancy Layla. Thank you, Nancy. I'm honored to have today honorary page from Redmond. Nancy's 17 years old. She's in the 11th grade, and colleagues, the Oregon Youth Challenge is in my district, and this is money well spent, and these young people have earned a second chance, and because they're going to be graduating next week. I've had the pleasure of attending several of their graduations. But Nancy is, she's a good example of what this program's about. She enjoys volunteering and helping others, and that's what one of the things that they teach at the Oregon Youth Challenge. She also likes soccer, and Nancy wants to be a news reporter, and I would tell her she's going to be a good, objective news reporter. So congratulations, Nancy. Thanks for serving today as an honorary pledge.
Representative Barker.
Speaker Ernesto. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce Ernesto Suarez, who's from Beaverton, who's part of the program. He enjoys dodgeball, reading, and being in the newsletter. He's in a short time going to be joining the United States Marine Corps. And his career goal is to become an officer in the Marine Corps. And colleagues, a good proportion of the officers of the United States Marine Corps have come up through the enlisted ranks. And I'm proud to also say that during this time of crisis, when people are having, other services are having difficulty making recruiting requirements, the Marine Corps has always maintained recruitment and has never lowered their standards. Thank you.
Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Alejandro Paz, located in the back of our... thank you, Alejandro. Alejandro is also a student of the Oregon Youth Challenge High. He's a junior. He's from Gresham. Alejandro is 16 years old. He is interested in the drill team. As you know, he was carrying one of the rifles for the color guard. Appreciate the presentation. Also enjoys basketball, listening to music. Alejandro, I wish you luck in your career goal of becoming a dental hygienist, something you can sink your teeth into. Thank you, Alejandro, for being here.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, my guest page today is Jessica Peel. Jessica, would you please stand? Hi. Jessica is in the 12th grade at the Oregon Youth Challenge High, and she's from Hermiston. She enjoys speed walking, cooking, cleaning, drawing, and her career goals include the medical field and the military. And welcome, Jessica.
Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to extend courtesies to members of the Northwest Youth Corps who are in the upper balcony behind us, if they'd stand. We have Pat Riggs Henson and accompanied by six students. And colleagues, Northwest Youth Corps is a nonprofit organization dedicated to youth development and conservation education. Northwest Youth Corps is now in its 25th year of challenging youth and building leaders. Northwest Youth Corps offers a wide variety of programs, including an accredited high school and with an outdoor focus, two AmeriCorps programs, and college-age leadership development programs. Each year, Northwest Youth Corps programs offer nearly 1,000 youth the opportunity to live, work, and camp with their 10-member teams throughout, and the entire state of Oregon in a five-week program that does a lot of work in our outdoor areas. The Northwest Youth Corps employs 27 full-time staff and has an annual operating budget of $3.9 million. Colleagues, it's really a great nonprofit that does a lot of good work for youth and giving them opportunities to be exposed to not just outdoor activities, but experiencing work ethic and job opportunities. Please, they also have an exhibit down in the Galleria. Please, if you get time, go by and take a look at some of the things and projects they work on and programs they have to offer for youth across the entire state that serves all of us. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce Joshua Morales. And this is on behalf of the representative from Ashland, whom is out on House business. Joshua actually lives in Medford and goes to the Oregon Youth Challenge High School in Ashland. He is a 10th grader. His activities that he's interested in are smart reader program, service to our community, and he donates blood frequently. His career goals is to get his GED and or a diploma and embark upon life as it goes. Welcome to your capital.
And Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to also welcome one of our honorary pages this morning. Could Ashton Mackey please rise? Ashton is also part of Oregon Youth Challenge, and he's in the 12th grade, 19. His interests are student government, track, and football, and when he graduates from college, he wants to eventually become a pediatrician. Welcome to your capital.
And I also want to welcome our last honorary page, Tyler Tully. If Tyler will stand, you'll see him in the back there. Not only is he one of the leaders in the color guard, but he plays football and is active in weight training. Tyler wants to be a firefighter, so we'll hook you up with Representative Matthews, who is a firefighter, before the day is done. Welcome, Tyler, and welcome to all of our pages. We appreciate your service today to the House and your state. And welcome to our guests. Hope you enjoy your day in the Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good morning on this Monday morning. I enjoyed all those introductions. I particularly enjoyed the introduction by the representative from Beaverton, Alola. His comments about the Marine Corps, as I look around our chamber here, it's true. There really are just a few good men. Mr. Speaker, I have some special guests today from Malala High School. If you'd look over here at the aisle, I'd like them to stand. Malala's best are with us today. First, the salutatorian for this year's class is Jack Pribble. Jack's heading off to Portland State. He's interested in being a software engineer or a freelance web designer. His parents are John and Cheryl Pribble. And Jack, look for my daughter. She's at PSU in the fall. We're glad you're here this morning. Next to Jack is Amanda Luna. Amanda is the valedictorian at Malala High. She's heading off to Seattle University. She's interested in public relations marketing and possibly international business. Her parents are Jesse and Bobby Luna, and Jesse is with us today. They're accompanied today by Malala Principal Kevin Ricker. Welcome to your house. Colleagues, I hope you'll extend the courtesies of the house. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Great to have you here. Congratulations. Enjoy your day in the Capitol. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to say just a word during courtesies about the Oregon National Guard Youth Challenge Program. This program is a statewide accredited alternative high school. It's a residential school where cadets or students live on site for 5 months while attending the military model school. This period is followed by a mandatory 12-month mentor phase back in their communities. There are students who come from all 36 counties in Oregon. It's a non-traditional model that operates similar to a military academy, yet students are eligible to earn a high school diploma, a GED, or credit recovery of 8 certified credits if they complete all the classwork. The target population is generally students who are considered at risk. It says in the information I have that to be eligible, these students must have been a high school dropout, 16 to 18 years old, and an Oregon resident. This school has won awards ever since 2001, every single year, best overall in the nation, best overall program in the nation, best post-residential program, most progressive, service to the community, and several other kinds of awards for 8, 9 years now consecutive. It's an amazing program. I looked for just a moment at the newsletter that they post on their website, and these kids have a sense of humor, a sense of dedication and mission. I was able to read about the drill team. I read about their mascots, the Wolverine and a diamondback rattlesnake. And I also wanted to note that they have a poem page, and I read music is like galactic basic from Star Wars. It's the only universal language. This is such a talented group of kids. Let your spirits soar, and best of luck to all of you.
And we'll close off our courtesies with our moment in Oregon sesquicentennial history. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today's History Minute is adapted from an entry in the Oregon Encyclopedia written by Richard Ingman. It's on Peter Britt. And Peter Britt is best known as an accomplished 19th century photographer and horticulturalist in Jackson County. Britt was born on March 12, 1819, in a Swiss canton of Glarus. Peter and his family immigrated to the United States, settled on a farm in Illinois, where many Swiss had moved. Gold fever struck Peter in 1852, and he headed westward with a group of Swiss-born adventurers. He arrived virtually penniless in a gold camp in Jacksonville, Oregon, and as a result of his many hard labors in many fields, he prospered. He built a small home and a photographic studio in 1854. To supplement his work as a small-town photographer, Peter Britt established a vineyard in 1858. His photographic work was primarily portraits, but he also took street and panoramic views of Jacksonville and documented local mining or gold mining efforts, railroad building, and scenic attractions. In fact, he took the first successful photograph in Crater Lake, or up Crater Lake, in 1874. Britt passed away in Jacksonville on October 3, 1905, and is buried in Jacksonville Cemetery. Britt's legacy is still evident in Jackson County. His Pioneer Valley View Vineyard is the namesake of a contemporary local winery established in 1972. His annual Peter Britt Music Festival began in 1963 on the grounds of the Britt home, attracts musicians from all over the world and is a great attraction for those that come to Southern Oregon. So we invite you to come and visit the Peter Britt Festival in Southern Oregon. Thank you.
The clerk will now open the voting system for the purpose of verifying the presence of a quorum. Representative Boone is present, excused for House business. Representative Buckley, all other members are present. Messages from the Governor, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 106, 135, 533, 539, 571, 622, 631, 775, SCR 7, 8, 10, SJM 11. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 83, 87, 117, 142, 04, 206, 214, 225, 239, 240, 262, 330, 398, 438, 479, 595, 802, 937, and SCR 5.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2093 and repass the bill.
Representative Roblin moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2093 and repass the bill. To your motion.
The Senate did something that we actually talked about in the House. This bill, when we print our short statements when they pass rules and make new rules during the session, the Secretary of State came up with a plan to have those agencies pay for those based on how much work they cause. And we passed that. We talked about why not putting this online and then not incurring the cost of publication. The Senate added an amendment that would allow the Secretary of State to make the decision when they're ready to actually put it all online as opposed to printing out these bulletins that come out. So I think it's a good amendment. Encourage your eye support.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should... Those of you opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2093A and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greg Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. House Bill 2093, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2481 and repass the bill.
Representative Holvey moves the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2481 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2481 was amended, obviously, on the Senate side. It's now House Bill 2481B. It prohibits conveyance of an agreement for the transfer of real property that imposes fees or other consideration upon actual or purported future transfer of the policy. Though the effect of the committee amendment states that it replaces the measure, it largely does exactly the same thing. It words the language quite differently so that the these kinds of fees, when they're put into documentation, are void, and it still accomplishes the purpose of our original bill. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Holbrook, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the amendments to... Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2481 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2481, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2498 and repass the bill.
Representative Barker moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2498 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is the bill that had to do with the Portland Airport, and the portion that caused some confusion was the restriction of having guns in a secure area, which means out where the airplanes are, and that was designed to prevent somebody who might be delivering or mechanics or anybody else from having a firearm in that area. They changed the definition of endangering an aircraft in the second degree by removing the term control, and so that it only applies to actual possession of a firearm, and it replaces the word dangerous with deadly, so it's clear that that's what we're talking about. It clarifies that this crime only applies to airports that have 2 million passenger boardings annually, which means only the Portland International Airport in Oregon, so that general aviation is not affected by that, the smaller airports. This is a good improvement to the bill, deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Burke, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2498 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bruin, how do you vote? Representative Bruin, how do you vote? He votes aye. Go back to my script. House Bill 2498, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Cannon.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2671 and repass the bill.
Representative Cannon moves the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2671 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Colleagues, this bill was amended in the Senate simply to add an emergency clause which will allow Metro to more efficiently administer a federal stimulus grant they hope to receive soon in order to retrofit 450 diesel garbage, recycling, and yard debris trucks. This is a $3 million grant, federal grant. Passage of this bill would allow them to administer starting this summer rather than waiting until January when, without this concurrence, the bill would become law. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2671 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote?
Aye.
Barker votes aye. Representative Schaffler votes aye. House Bill 2671, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2707, repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2707 and repass the bill. To your motion.
House Bill 2707B deals with the issue of injured workers who need to establish eligibility for supplemental temporary disability benefits and have more than one job. The measure passed unanimously out of the House. The Senate clarified time frames for the worker to provide documentation of wages to the workers' compensation insurer, self-insured employer, or assigned claims agent from within 60 days of the day the worker receives a request of verification to 60 days of the mailing date. The measure has the approval of the Management Labor Advisory Committee and passed unanimously out of the Senate. Good bill should pass. Urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2707 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Barker, how do you vote?
Aye.
Barker votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Witt, how do you vote? Witt votes aye. House Bill 2707, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Shoffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2778 and repass the bill.
Representative Shoffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2778 and repass the bill. To your motion.
House Bill 2778, which passed unanimously in the House, requires the Department of Administrative Services to adopt a process for identifying entry-level and light-duty assignments for injured state workers. The Senate amended the bill to clarify the measure only applies to the executive branch. There is no opposition to the bill, and it passed unanimously out of the Senate. Good bill should pass or dry vote.
Further discussion. Representative Gilliam.
Question to the carrier, Mr. Speaker.
Question to the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
I yield to the member from the Christmas Tree Empire.
Yes, he does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've already annoyed the representative from Beaverton Aloha twice, so I'll be quick. I can't understand a word you're saying. What's this about? I know you can do better.
House Bill 2778, Representative, requires the Department of Administrative Services to adopt a process for identifying entry-level and light-duty assignments for injured workers. So if a person has a job and they get injured, rather than when, say, if they don't have any light-duty around, well, just go home and you don't have a job anymore. They find something for them to do, and they remain productive members of our community. And I think that's a very good thing. Matter of fact, I don't think we can do enough for workers in this state. That's why, Representative, I'm a big supporter of more flexible land use, more power generation, the construction of, development of more water, cutting more timber, and there's no clock on the answer, so I can go on and on. But I think you understand. Do I need any more clarification, Representative?
None. I knew he could do it, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Shoffler, would you like to close? He does not. Those of the opinion the House concur and send amendments to House Bill 2778 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Kennemer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Reed, how do you vote? Reed votes aye. Representative Kotek, aye. Representative Nolan, votes aye. House Bill 2778, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Huffman.
Mr. Speaker, I move to the House concur in the Senate amendments on HB 2809 and repass the bill.
Representative Huffman moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2809 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is my urban renewal bill that only affected the Dalles and Lake Oswego. It is a technical fix because it was passed on the House side with an emergency clause in it. And since it could potentially affect taxes, you cannot have an emergency clause in it. It was fixed on the Senate side. Please vote aye.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Huffman, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2809 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Stiegler, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2809, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3103 and repass the bill.
Representative Greenlick moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3103 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The 3103 is a bill that made some modest changes in pharmacy laws. We passed it overwhelmingly or unanimously in the House. The Senate amendments put an emergency clause on it, and I urge we repass the bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Greenlick, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3103 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All have voted. House Bill 3103, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3117 and repass the bill.
Representative Gelser moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3117 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 3117 was our adverse impact bill that has to do with career pathway programs. The Senate amendment was merely a technical amendment that clarifies who is to receive notice of intent to offer a new career pathways program. It's a good amendment, a good bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close? She does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3117 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon, how do you vote?
Aye.
Cannon votes aye. Let's go with this one. House Bill 3117, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills. Chair requests unanimous consent the rules be suspended and that House Bill 2533 be read the second time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2533, relating to school finance and prescribing an effective date.
Bill read the second time is passed to third reading.
Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2084, relating to notice requirements for financing statements filed with the Secretary of State.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2084A. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill started out in the Rules Committee pretty early, but we had some concerns from some of the institutions, banks and others, that they were not going to get this written notice. And so they worked and came back to the House asking, and they both concurred this time, that they would in fact set up a process by which those banks that want to be informed of this particular transaction would be able to get an electronic notification. And everybody seemed to be happy with that conversation. And so you have before you today 2084. I urge your aye support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, he does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
Aye.
Gilliam votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Gilman, how do you vote? Representative Gilman, off the floor. House Bill 2084A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill. Final reading of memorials and resolutions. Oh, that's right. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that consideration of SCR 12, SCR 13, SCR 14, and SB 70 be made special orders of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Thursday, June 4th, 2009 calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll read the next resolution.
SGR 16, expressing legislative support for efforts to promote peaceful coexistence of Christians and Muslims in Republic of Turkey.
Question now arises upon third reading and final adoption of SJR 16A. Representative Garrard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. SJR 16A expresses legislative support for efforts of the Ecumenical Patricet to promote the peaceful coexistence of Christians and Muslims in the Republic of Turkey. Requests the Republic of Turkey uphold and safeguard religious and human rights and grant to the Ecumenical Patriarch appropriate rights and independence in perpetuity. The carrier will only accept questions in the Turkish language.
Further discussion? Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the joint resolution?
To the resolution.
Right? Yeah, to the resolution. I don't speak Turkish, but I'm going to be voting no on this simply because I do not see why. I don't feel like I'm qualified at all to make any kind of compliment or affirmation of this. I'm not a foreign policy expert in this area, and I'm not really sure why we're doing this. I appreciate the good representative, but I'm just going to be voting no for that reason.
Further discussion, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrard, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cowan, how do you vote? No. Representative Van Orman? Yes. Representative Harker? Representative Harker. Representative Harker, off the floor. Representative Gelser. Lozai. Representative Tomei. Representative Tomei, off the floor. Representative Call, for what purpose do you rise?
I pushed the wrong button. I'd like to be a no. She fixed it.
Okay. Let's take care of it. Thank you. SJR 16A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 24, relating to health benefit plan coverage of telemedical services. Senate Bill 112, relating to redeployment of retired members of the public employees retirement system and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 147, relating to landscaping. Senate Bill 170, relating to rural airports. Senate Bill 444, relating to hazing. Senate Bill 515, relating to warranties on motor vehicles and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 580, relating to the Columbia River Crossing Project. Senate Bill 640, relating to licensing of real estate professionals. Senate Bill 679, relating to health benefit plan dividends paid by for healthy lifestyles. Senate Bill 731, relating to garnishments. Senate Bill 850, relating to Health Services Commission. Senate Bill 862, relating to reimbursement of health care costs and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 863, relating to reimbursement of local filmmaker protection. Senate Bill 942, relating to Oregon Climate Corps and appropriated money.
Bills read the second time are passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Chair requests unanimous consent the rules be suspended and that Senate Bill 952 be read the third time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 952, relating to rights of tenants in foreclosed property and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 952B. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise to urge your support of Senate Bill 952B, which comes to you with a unanimous vote from your House Consumer Protection Committee and which has no opposition. This bill will provide basic protection to tenants with legitimate rental agreements who are at risk of losing their homes when their landlords enter foreclosure. Oregon law currently provides little protection for renters in these situations. In fact, current law negates the interests of tenants completely by providing that leases are completely extinguished by a foreclosure with little notice. Tenants are truly the innocent parties in foreclosure proceedings. Despite keeping their end of the bargain by paying their rent, they are at risk of losing their homes. Low-income families and minority communities are bearing the brunt of rental foreclosures. These populations are at special risk of homelessness if evicted because of foreclosures. Senate Bill 952B takes reasonable, practical steps to help tenants without unfairly burdening landlords or banks. This bill provides four basic protections. Tenants will get advance notice of the foreclosure proceedings with information about tenants' rights and where they can go for assistance. Tenants may not be evicted until after the foreclosure sale. They will have 30 to 60 days notice depending on the length of the lease term. Tenants receiving notice of foreclosure may apply any prepaid rent and security deposit toward any ongoing rent obligation. This bill has reasonable and appropriate protections for purchasers. And with the B and Gross amendments, it has no opposition from any industry. The bill only protects legitimate, good faith rental agreements. Purchasers are released from liability for security deposits and damages. Purchasers do not become landlords unless they choose to do so. Colleagues, this problem impacts renters in both urban and rural communities all across Oregon. There are letters of support on file from the Housing Alliance, the City of Medford, Jackson County Oregon Action, the Oregon Law Center, and the Lane County Legal Aid and Advocacy Center. Tenants are truly the innocent victims of foreclosure, and for these reasons, I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I wanted to thank the good representative from Milwaukee and others who have worked on this bill. This is an issue that has come up repeatedly in my legislative district, where we have a particularly troublesome landlord and landlord agency. We have a couple of bills that are moving through the body this session that are at least partly inspired by those bad actions. I'm grateful we have the chance to take some action to protect the tenants in my district and in yours. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Escoval.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, we have Landlord-Tenant Act that governs most anything in this state, except for this particular instance, where the owners of these properties are not notifying the tenant that there's a possible foreclosure. So consequently, you're going on a month-to-month tenancy, or you have a lease that is terminated once that is foreclosed upon, and you're required to leave. Good bill. I hope you support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
No, I don't. Thank you.
She does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 952B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 623 be taken from today's calendar and placed on its proper place on Tuesday, June 2, 2009 calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 102, relating to solid fuel burning devices.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 102A. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 102A extends air quality statutory provisions relating to emissions from wood stoves to solid fuel burning devices. It defines those devices to include any device that burns wood, coal, or other non-gaseous or non-liquid fuels. The bill would authorize the Environmental Quality Commission to prohibit installation and sale of used solid fuel burning devices for sale as new. These are standards that they set. It would allow them to set standards to require certified solid fuel burning devices to be removed upon the sale of a home, and it would allow the EQC to require curtailment of solid fuel burning devices under certain conditions. Colleagues, this bill is a reaction to the EPA's actions in September 2006 when they tightened the fine particulate standard for air quality based on new health studies. The consequences of failing to meet these new EPA standards would be severe, including the curtailment of economic development in non-attainment area. That's why business groups, including the Associated Oregon Industries, testified the importance of taking steps to reduce fine particulates from older non-certified wood stoves. This bill represents a measured way of dealing with the issue, would not require folks to take older devices, older even non-compliant wood stoves, out of their homes at any point other than the time of sale, and even then only under rules developed by EQC. Urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, in spite of the fact that my wife has a great deal of problem with asthma and certainly wood-burning stoves, and especially in our part of the country with a lot of inversion, represent a major problem for her. Taking my personal experiences aside, I'm going to have to be, as I was in committee, a no vote on this issue. I have a lot of communities, small communities in my district, where the unemployment rate is astronomically high, where the standard of living is very low, and where their only source of heat in some of these folks' homes is from a antiquated wood stove. And as a consequence of this, not living in this very banana belt that we have in the Willamette Valley and perhaps other parts of the western part of the state, we see sub-zero weather in my district on occasions, and when their only source of heat is a wood-burning stove, it's a little difficult. The folks, are pretty much dependent upon that. I wished I lived in a better world. I wish sometimes there were easy, simple answers to things. But unfortunately, as much as I would like to support this bill, from the constituents that I have, I'm going to have to be a no vote. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, again, we're mandating on a statewide basis, which is a local control issue. We have initiated such rules and regulations in the city of Medford for 20-plus years. Your local community can, in fact, regulate its own wood stove, pellet stove, or whatever through a coating system. It is done successfully. And we certainly don't need a law to help the law of your local community. We wonder why we have people that are elected locally, yet we continue to erode the process of local jurisdiction. I understand some people are probably going to stand up and say, yeah, but they aren't doing it. Yeah, but they aren't doing it. Folks, they will do it if you let them know they need to do it, and your community lets them know they need to do it.
Further discussion, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, this bill is important in places where the airshed sometimes fills up, especially on cold winter days with inversions, like the upper end of the Willamette Valley where I live. We are very close to the air quality limits on those days and face the possibility over time of having restrictions on industry in our end of the Willamette Valley because of the effects of air pollution on those inverted winter days, precisely the days when these kinds of devices are in high use. This bill is about as minimal a bill as you can get that will actually improve our odds for the long haul, because it requires that these very polluting devices be replaced at the time of sale. It doesn't shut down anyone using them now. This is a jobs bill, Mr. Speaker, and I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, one, I want to underscore the point made by my colleague from Central Lane and Linn counties. We do face significant economic development limitations if we fail to clean our air in certain parts of the state, and that is what produced this bill in the first place. So I do take some issue with the comments from the representative from District 58, understanding the concerns of his constituents. This is about economic development. It's not about limiting it. Nothing in this bill will allow the EQC to establish rules that would require a homeowner to take a wood stove out of their home, no matter how old that wood stove is, no matter how high emitting that wood stove is. This bill does not give the EQC the ability to require that homeowner to get rid of the stove, except at the point of sale, and even then only under certain conditions. As far as local control, with respect to my colleague from Medford, this bill has some provisions that I think, while they do tread on the ability of local government to set its own policies in place, serve a greater interest, not only the attainment of air quality standards, but also, for instance, the creation of a single statewide disclosure form, a seller's property disclosure form, which will make it easier for realtors to deal with various standards in various parts of the state. So for those and other reasons, I encourage your aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Stigler, how do you vote? Stigler votes aye. Representative Greg Smith, how do you vote? He votes no. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Boone votes no. Senate Bill 102A, not having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 103, relating to fees for air contamination sources and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Senate Bill 103A. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Clearly, I'm on a roll. Senate Bill 103 is also a response to EPA regulations. And in this case, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has adopted a series of new regulations called the National Emission Standards for Hazardous Air Pollutants. These regulations will require thousands of small Oregon businesses, such as auto body shops, to get an air quality permit from the Department of Environmental Quality for the first time. This bill would provide the commission with the authorization to establish a registration fee as an alternative to obtaining a permit, creating a less burdensome, more streamlined opportunity for small businesses to comply with this requirement. In addition, the bill authorizes the commission to establish a schedule of fees for reporting. This bill received support from Associated Oregon Industries, the Northwest Automotive Trades Association, heard no opposition in committee, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nathanson, how do you vote? Nathanson votes aye. Representative Huffman? Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Representative Huffman. Off the floor. Representative Harker, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? He votes no. Senate Bill 103A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 121, relating to requirements for school personnel and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 121. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 121 with a unanimous due pass recommendation from your Education Committee. This bill simply adds language to the existing law. Currently, TSPC has requirements that assess federal and state or federal civil rights laws. This adds to those requirements professional conduct and ethics training. This is not a mandate on school districts. This bill is particularly important this session because of all the work that the education has done in heightening the standards and the requirements for professional conduct. And this is just the capstone to that work. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Springer, do you wish to close? She does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Wisnett votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Representative Garrett. Representative Garrett, off the floor. Senate Bill 121, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 123, relating to child abuse records and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 123A. Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 123 comes from the Human Services Committee with a unanimous due pass recommendation. When the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission is investigating complaints between educators and students, it is critical that they see any reports collected under the child abuse reporting laws. Regrettably, at this time, DHS does not have a clear statutory authority to release those reports to the Commission. This bill before us gives us that clear authority so that we can make sure that the Commission will have access to these child abuse records when they are making your decision. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Van Orman, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
She does not. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Senate Bill 123A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will vote, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 124, relating to operating a vehicle without driving privileges.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 124B. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 124... increases the penalty for operating a motorcycle without a motorcycle endorsement from a Class B traffic violation punishable by a maximum fine of $360 to a Class A traffic violation punishable by a maximum fine of $720. And it authorizes the court to suspend or dismiss the fine if the operator completes the necessary training course and obtains a motorcycle endorsement within 120 days of sentencing. Colleagues, motorcycle crashes in Oregon have risen from 543 in 2002 to 743 in 2007. There were 46 motorcyclist fatalities in 2008, and 272 motorcyclists have died since 2003. Of the 272 motorcyclists who have died since 2003, 26% did not have a motorcycle endorsement. In 2007, the Governor's Advisory Committee on Motorcycle Safety identified over 12,000 people in Oregon who own motorcycles but don't have a motorcycle endorsement. They were sent a letter encouraging them to get endorsed. Special motorcycle training classes were set up to accommodate the group. The response was not what they'd hoped for. Of that group, only 600 followed through. and acquired their motorcycle endorsement. And that's not enough. Colleague, this bill increases the penalty, which makes the differential between participating in the motorcycle training courses and getting your endorsement. It increases the differential between those two numbers. Right now, it's only 104, and we think people are probably taking a chance over that $104. So this bill is a great bill, and hopefully will make motorcyclists safer in Oregon. And I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Hanna.
Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield? Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
Carrier yields.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. Was there any discussion about not doubling the fee and allowing a rider to pass the course?
Not in our House Transportation Committee. I could not tell you if there had been in the Senate.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question.
Another additional question to the carrier. Does the carrier yield? She does.
Were there statistics given that increased the safety portion of the course because the fee was doubled?
No, not in the Transportation Committee. There was no, there were no statistics given that would have proven that, because the fee is not that high. At this point in time, they don't have any numbers that would prove that.
Thank you. Hanna.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I apologize for the somewhat facetiousness of my question. However, my point is, I believe, very clear. Having an opportunity to take the motorcycle rider safety course may be a benefit, and that could have been done without doubling the fee. However, doubling the fee provides no additional safety for motorcycle riders. I'd urge a no vote on this, simply to say to Oregonians, we do understand safety. We could give you an opportunity to take this class after you received a citation, but we absolutely do not need to double the fee to do so.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Byer, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'm not quite sure whether or not the last question was regarding doubling the fine or doubling the fee. We're doubling the fine. And I do want to say that, again, repeat that in 2007, 12,000 Oregonians were identified as having a motorcycle and don't have endorsements. They set up classes, they sent letters to all these people, and the percentage of people that took advantage of those classes was minimal. And given that, this is the direction that they decided they needed to go to get people to get their endorsements. And I urge an aye vote.
Those are the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes no. Senate Bill 124B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 129, relating to commercial driver licenses and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 129A. Representative Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 129A. This bill brings Oregon into compliance with federal rules to implement provisions of the 1986 Commercial Driver's License Act and the 1999 Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act. According to ODOT, if Oregon is determined to be out of compliance with federal regulations, the state risks losing up to $12 million per year in federal highway funds. This bill, Senate Bill 129A, includes clarification of statute changes from previous legislation, House Bill 3380, 2321, and House Bill 2268 in 2007, to be more consistent with federal guidelines. Colleagues, this is a pretty simple bill. There is one section of the bill, Section 2, that the legislature, I didn't look at this close enough before I came to the floor today, but in the federal CDL regulations for commercial driver's licenses, the DUI is 0.04, and the legislature gave the department authority to impose CDL suspensions for drivers operating commercial motor vehicles under a farm endorsement. This was done in response to a federal compliance review in 2004. Under current law, for example, a driver with a CDL suspension for failing a breath test of a commercial motor vehicle may continue to operate I'm getting myself out of order with the paperwork. Okay. Section 2 authorizes the department to cancel a farm endorsement if the holder of the endorsement has two or more convictions for driving under the influence of intoxicants while driving and hear this, a commercial motor vehicle, refusing to take a breath test, blood alcohol content failure of 0.04 and above, while operating a commercial vehicle, hit and run, motor vehicle felony while operating a commercial motor vehicle, driving a commercial motor vehicle while suspended, murder resulting from operation of a commercial motor vehicle, and controlled substance felony involving a commercial motor vehicle. Note, when these same offenses occur in a passenger vehicle, the underlying license will usually be suspended but not canceled. Colleagues, these are Class C farm endorsements and only take effect when they're driving a commercial motor vehicle. If they're in their personal car, they are under the same limitations of the 0.08 as any other driver in the state. It's only when they're in a commercial motor vehicle that the 0.04 comes into effect. And I think, colleagues, this is a good bill. I think that there really is no excuse for someone to be driving while intoxicated, whether it's in their personal vehicle or in a commercial vehicle. And I urge an aye vote.
Representative Berger, for what purpose are you in the queue?
Speak to the bill.
That was actually the close on the bill. I'm sorry. Representative Beyer carried two bills in a row. My mistake. Representative Berger, further discussion. I was asleep, not you.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill. Colleagues, you'll note that I voted no on this bill in committee. There was some underlining difference of opinion on how hard this would be for some of the farm folks when they have ODOT is essentially establishing sort of a double standard for them. I had hoped that there would be a compromise bill come out here and that we could kind of get to yes on this. Clearly that did not happen. Unfortunately, On further reflection, I think that the bill itself has good enough provisions that I will be supporting it here on the floor. But there is some work that needs to be done between ODOT and the farm community on getting more consistency around these rules as to when and what the rules are when they are driving. But on, in general, I think the bill is a good bill. It is something that we need to do, so I will be supporting it on the floor with the reservations around that Section 2 portion. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
For the same reasons mentioned by my colleague that just spoke, I'll also be changing my vote to a yes. I encourage your aye vote.
Representative Wingard.
Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
She does.
Good representative. I read in here the line in the description of the bill that it would prohibit ODOT from issuing a commercial driver's license with hazardous materials endorsement to an individual who is not a United States citizen or permanent legal resident. You might take from that that other than this prohibition, ODOT will continue issuing commercial driver's licenses to individuals who may not be U.S. citizens or permanent legal residents?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, now Representative Beyer. Do you wish to really close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Only to say my apologies to the body today. I was prepared for these bills on Friday, but evidently I either had too long of a weekend or too short of a weekend. I'm not really sure which, but I could have been better prepared. And they're both great bills, and I urge your aye support.
Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Maurer votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes no. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Senate Bill 129A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 187, relating to State Department of Agriculture refunding of payments.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 187. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill increases the Oregon Department of Agriculture's automatic refund threshold from $5 to $25. This bill will streamline accounting and approval service to the agency license holders. Last biennium, the agency took over 500 hours of staff time to process refunds under $25. At a cost to the customers of $15,000, the value of the overpayments was approximately $6,000. The agency will continue to refund amounts less than $25 if it is requested in writing. Amounts over $25 threshold will continue to be refunded automatically. It currently costs the department about $31.45 to process a refund. The department was advised through the committee to explore e-technology to reduce those costs and make it more cost-effectively to make refunds available under $25. Ask for your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Richardson votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Senate Bill 187, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 195, relating to wave energy and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 195. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill just continues our work in wave energy. For the state of Oregon, it allows for a small window of opportunity for a pilot project out of Reedsport, and this is to test the buoy. Pilot projects that generate less than 5 megawatts of electricity and within the Oregon's territorial sea. This bill will allow the partners who have been working together for 5 years to get their project in the water, to test it, and any project that isn't applied for by the end of the year would not be able to do this very small window of opportunity. And then once they test this project, they can come back. Hopefully it will work just the way they expect it to, and we'll be able to get some more devices in the water and start making our energy from our waves. There was no opposition. People are waiting with bated breath to get this sector up and running, and they're watching us all around the world. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Representative Nolan votes aye. Senate Bill 195, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. And colleagues, we're planning to do one more bill, and then we'll have a series of motions after that. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 227, relating to furnishing alcoholic beverages to minor.
Question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 227A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 227 increases the fine for furnishing alcohol to a minor or someone who is visibly intoxicated. Currently, the maximum fine is $350. This bill creates a stair-step penalty for those offenders who continually choose to violate the law. The bill increases the fine for first-time offenders to $500, second-time $1,000, and third-time offenders to $1,500. This bill is a product of the Attorney General's Underage Drinking Task Force, and the lack of uniform consequences was identified as a key issue of the task force. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Colleagues, you will note that the board says Senate Bill 125 carried by Boone. We just had debate on and are voting on Senate Bill 227A carried by Representative Olson. Based on the colors on the board, since there was unanimous support for both, I'm assuming that's going to change. I'm assuming that's not going to change outcome. So it will be recorded correctly in the journal as Senate Bill 227A, which was just carried by Representative Olson. So additional folks who have not yet voted on Senate Bill 227, Representative Barton. Representative Barton votes aye. Representative Schaffler votes aye. Representative Chris Edwards votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith votes aye. Representative Boone, are you in the privilege queue on purpose?
I was just wondering if this means that Representative Olson and I are now interchangeable.
I can't even think of a good comeback on that. Thank you for the softball setup. Senate Bill 195, having received the constitutional majority. See, I'm too used to looking at the screen. Senate Bill 227A, having received the constitutional majority. Senate Bill 227A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair requests unanimous consent that three bills, Senate Bill 839, Senate Bill 929, and Senate Bill 220, be made special orders of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate bills calendar be carried over to their proper place on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2009's third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business to the House, other business to the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to suspend the rules in order to allow Representative Gilliam to change his vote on House Bill 2093. It will not change the outcome. Gilliam 2093.
Representative Nolan requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and Representative Gilliam be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 2093. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
No.
Gilliam votes no. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I once again ask unanimous consent to suspend the rules in order to allow Representative Cameron to change his vote on Senate Bill 952. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Nolan requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow Representative Cameron to change his vote on Senate Bill 952. It will not change the outcome. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Cameron, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Cameron votes aye. Representative Nolan, any further announcements?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats, please get your lunches and join me in the caucus room immediately following the floor. Thank you.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would request unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow Representative Clem to change his vote on Senate Bill 102.
Representative Hanna requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow Representative Clem to change his vote on Senate Bill 102. It will not change the outcome. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Clem votes aye. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maintaining rule suspension to allow Representative Stiegler to change her vote on Senate Bill 102.
Representative Hanna requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow Representative Stiegler to change her vote on Senate Bill 102. It will not change the outcome. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Stiegler votes no. Representative Hanna.
And thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Republicans, please get your lunch and meet us in the caucus room in a few minutes. Thank you very much.
Further announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm reading a proclamation from the Office of the Governor. Whereas gay and lesbian Americans have made important and lasting contributions to our nation in every field of endeavor, and whereas gay and lesbian rights movements have tirelessly united each other, their families, friends, and all those committed to justice and equality in the crusade to outlaw discriminatory laws and practices, and whereas gay and lesbian Americans in every field of endeavor have made many solid contributions to America and are an integral part of our American fabric, with each passing year, the American people are becoming more receptive to diversity and more open to those who are different from themselves. And whereas the state of Oregon embraces diversity and understands that the gay and lesbian community is an important part of Oregon's diversity, and whereas this June, Oregon recognizes and observes Gay and Lesbian Pride Month and celebrates the progress we have made in creating a society more inclusive and accepting of gays and lesbians, now, therefore, I, Theodore R. Kulongowski, Governor of the State of Oregon, hereby proclaim June 2009 to be Gay and Lesbian Pride Month in Oregon and encourage all Oregonians to join in this observance. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances, Representative Nolan.
Mr. Speaker and colleagues, the pro-choice community and all who honor the rule of law are deeply saddened by the murder of Dr. George Tiller, as he was an integral part of our community and his loss is felt by all of us. Certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and to those close to him who are suffering a personal tragedy. Dr. Tiller was the epitome of high-quality medical care, underscored by deep compassion for his patients. He provided critical reproductive health care services, including, as a small portion of his practice, abortion services for women facing some of the very most difficult medical circumstances that I can ever imagine. He was the target of harassment for much of his career. His clinic was burned down. He was shot a while ago by a health center protester, and he was recently targeted for investigation only to be acquitted by a jury just a few months ago. This past weekend, he was murdered. None of that harassment had stopped Dr. Tiller from his commitment to providing women and their families with compassionate care that others were unwilling to provide. His death is an enormous loss for the patients who relied on him, for his dedicated staff and the medical community, and for women and their families all across America, including here in Oregon. A moment of silence in his honor, please. Thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last night I read an item on a blog that I think is very appropriate given the remonstrance that was just given, and I'd like to read a portion of it. It's written by a patient of Dr. Tiller. Like many in this community, my heart is heavy today. There have been many great diaries that talk about Dr. Tiller's years of service to women and the threats he has endured throughout the last years of his life. My story is a bit more personal, and I want to share it with all of you to give you more insight into the man. In 1975, my mom noticed an indention in her left breast. She called, made an appointment with her OBGYN, Dr. George Tiller. After his initial examination, he ordered a biopsy. While performing the biopsy, he immediately knew that the lump was cancerous. Instead of just closing and scheduling surgery, he grabbed a handful, his words, not mine. Her cancer doctor credited this quick thinking by Dr. Tiller with saving her life, and due to this, she didn't even have to undergo chemotherapy. Several years later, my mother and I were driving by his clinic in Wichita. Mom started complaining of chest pains, so I drove into his parking lot and ran for help. Dr. Tiller was at Mom's side immediately and stabilized her before the heart attack could cause severe damage. In 1980, I was pregnant with my first child. I had no insurance and couldn't afford a doctor's appointment until I was approved for a medical card. Mom told Dr. Tiller, and he brought me into his office where he examined me free of charge. I can credit him with the very first picture taken of my son. The last story I have to share is about my friends who could not have children. Dr. Tiller's office worked with several attorneys in the Wichita area to provide adoption services for his patients who wanted this option. My friends have a 10-year-old boy now who is loved and adored. I just wanted to get this story out to you so you could hear how this man wasn't just a tremendous fighter for women's rights. He was a brilliant physician and a kind and compassionate human being. Rest in peace, Dr. Tiller, and thank you for all you did for my friends and family. I can't give you the name of the writer because the blog is handled anonymously, but I think it's an eloquent piece by someone who knew him well. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances? Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's a very sad time in the United States of America when a time-honored sanctuary becomes the citadel of murder. And I think it's time for us to reflect on the sanctity of human life and the sacredness of all of our lives, and we need to protect one another.
Further remonstrances? Representative Jensen. Adjournment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move we adjourn until 10 a.m. Tuesday, June 2nd, 2009.
And colleagues, you'll know Representative Jensen's motion was to 10 a.m., not 10:15, 10 a.m. Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10 a.m. on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourned.